Coming up on TMS, tonight,
why local government is full of poop.
Russia has a serious PR problem this week.
You can legally do something terrible in Massachusetts.
I hate that word. The name of this state is terrible. Miley, I'd love, whatever, those people are fine. I'm just saying, your state's hard to say. Miley is reading her own lyrics in concert.
Sure, for a guy who lives in Utah. 12 Years a Slave has fans who've never seen it.
Therapy Thursday.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Oh.
There has been a rumor going around that eggs are getting smaller. We at Armour wish to nip this thing right in the bud. Eggs are not getting smaller. The reason you think they're smaller is because Armour bacon doesn't shrink as much. The bigger the bacon, the smaller the eggs look. Armour bacon. You get a little more because it shrinks a little less. Eggs are the same size as always.
I don't like steam.
The Morning Stream.
Hi, I'm pretending to be Scott Fletcher, and as if I put a file in here, you're listening to The Morning Stream. Jeez, I forgot to put a Fletcher in there. I know.
Dude, I did not even notice that what happened there.
It didn't. It was completely real to you, right? All right, here, fine.
I don't care.
There you go.
There we go.
The Morning Stream.
There you go. There's another
one. No dicks here.
All right.
Oh, you know what I have to do?
No. That's all you got to do, Scott. I goofed and didn't put a second thing in there. I don't know why I did that. But hey, whatever. It's The Morning Stream. It's Thursday. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott Johnson.
Welcome back after your respite yesterday. You weren't here.
Yes, I was not there. I was on a plane.
Yeah, a lot on a plane. You were on a plane most of your trip, it feels like.
It feels like it, yeah. Well, it was really, you know, you think about that flight. Now, for some reason, I got in my head that it's like 4 hours long, but it's only... from Denver to Tampa, and it's a direct flight, it is really only 3 hours, 2 hours, 55 minutes or something.
That's not bad.
It isn't bad. But when you come back, I mean, there's some crazy mojo going on with jet lag, but, you know, crossing daylight saver, crossing time zones.
Right, right.
All that stuff.
That changes this weekend, you know. You're losing an hour.
I know.
Sucks.
But we're springing forward, so it's almost like... It's almost like I'm pit stopping in Kansas.
You're right. It's almost like this show doesn't start until 9.
Right. Exactly.
Ooh, weird. Think about that.
It's going to be weird. It's going to be hard getting up Monday morning.
Mm-hmm. That'll be real fun.
Spring forward.
But it is nice to think that the spring is coming, and that's all I really care about. A little more sunshine. A little more satisfaction. A little more action. How's the song go? A little more something. The Elvis song.
Oh, a little less conversation.
A little less conversation, a little more action. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I'm looking forward to in the spring of 2014. Right. It's good to have you back. Brian Dunaway held down the fart pretty well, and we were glad to have him. But
he did a great job. Yeah, I listened to it yesterday afternoon. Listened to the show, and all I can say is I wish Dunaway would have cleaned up after himself in the booth. They're like, there's power bar wrappers all over the floor, and I don't eat those. There's stray hairs, and then you know those can't be mine.
No, you know they've got talent. Did he poop in the corner or anything weird like that? Not this time.
Hard to tell.
Okay, well, give it a couple of days.
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard to tell if that's Brian's.
He leaves gifts that keep on giving is all I'm getting at.
That's right.
Well, big thanks to him again for sitting in, but we're back to normal. And tonight is the premiere of TMS PM, our Thursday evening edition of The Morning Stream, which will be on the same feed. People don't have to worry about subscribing to anything new. You guys earned it. You unlocked it. It's a thing you get because you're rad.
You are rad.
And
supporting folks, you.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be good. So it's going to be a little crazier for you, I think, today, because you literally have three major productions going on. You have this, you have Coverville, and then you have that.
Well, normally I would. I am postponing Coverville until tomorrow, partially because of TMS, but TMS PM, but also because of a dog in surgery today. So my older dog, Ruby, has a mass on her side. She's had it. We noticed it a few weeks ago, but she's had some high blood sugar values. So we had to get her. We didn't know that, you know, she was also diabetic. We discovered that when we took her in to have the mass looked at.
How old is she?
She's 10 years old.
Oh, okay.
she's an older chocolate lab, and
that's,
so she's
that's how the stuff starts to go about that age.
Exactly. Yep, yeah. It's totally true. And so we've been. It's funny. When we first found out about the mass and took her in, found out about the diabetes, the levels were like at 500 something, and the doctor said, we've got to get her down between 175 and 200 before we can do surgery, before we get her on the table.
Yeah.
So she gave us this recommendation for or a prescription for insulin. We went out and bought some syringes. We gave her shots, or we've been giving her shots twice a day. Mm. First week, they said, all right, do 10 cc's of insulin.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that and got it down to 400.
Oh god,
this is gonna take forever.
Yeah, that seems she like said, all right. Slow burn there.
Totally. So she said, all right, up it to 13 cc's. Well, at the same time, Tina went to this local pet store and was talking to the lady behind the counter, who said, oh yeah, you know, here's what you got to do. You give them this food right here. And she hands Tina a bag of food that's, you know, that's basically, it's not necessarily made for dogs with diabetes, but it's got less crap in it than you find in even the good stuff that we buy at PetSmart or Petco.
Sure.
And she says, yeah, start giving her this. Basically, you know, it's you know, a lot of proteins. It's not a lot of grains. It's not a lot of crap. And it'll help her out really well. So 1 week of that food and the 13 cc's dropped her down to 180 something in her blood sugar level.
Oh my gosh.
The vet had no, like, the vet was amazed. Like, oh, that can't be right. Are you sure? Oh, that can't. Wow, that's okay. Well, all right. I guess we've gotten her down. I've never seen that before. It's almost scary.
This happens with real doctors with me, by the way. This kind
Does
of thing.
It?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you need to do these 12 things. Then I'll find some dude and he'll go, oh no, all you need to do is that. And I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. That was better. And then the doctor's like, well, that doesn't sound, we don't sanction the freaking.
Yes, exactly. And the lady at the pet store explained, said, you know, well, you know, vets get their years of training, but they only get like the equivalent of about a week on nutrition, or at least, you know, that's what this pet store lady
You'd think
said.
It'd be more of that, because here's the life of a dog. Get up, want to play, need to take a shite outside,
right?
And eat. Those are the key. Those are the three things they know how to do.
Exactly.
You'd think it would have a bigger, it would be a tri-focus, and that would be the one big focus.
Totally, right. It's pet nutrition. But they spend a lot of time, you know, learning how to fix broken legs and treat other kinds of diseases. And they just don't really get that training on nutrition. At least, again, if there are vets out there, I want to hear another side of this, because all we've heard is the side from the pet store lady. And we certainly don't want to go to the vet that is taking care of our dog and say, by the way, the pet store lady says that you guys only get a week of nutrition training. Is that true?
Yeah, exactly. Then you get confrontational. Then it becomes like global warming. Nobody agrees on anything. It gets real ugly after that. In fact, this feels like a microcosmic argument that would fit real well in the biotech world right now. So you have this vet versus pet food lady. It's, you may as well just ramp that up to cancer doctor versus holistic treatment person. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying there are any more, you know, holistic stuff is any more or any less accurate, but it feels like the same argument. Just with pets, it's easier. Pets are easy, man. If your pet's dying, if your pet's got a mass and it's cancer and it's going to die, you will put the dog down, right? That's what you would
do. What I used to, yeah.
With the humans, we make him suffer in bed for ever. It's just such a weird disconnect the way we do those two things. But yeah, we'd love to hear from a vet. That'd be great.
Yeah.
And we don't mean some guy in his 50s who went to Vietnam.
I was in Nam. Charlie was coming over the hill. Charlie 243. In the tree.
Yeah.
Anyway. So actually, this will be interesting, because with the TMS today, you're hearing about the story.
Yeah.
TMS PM tonight, she should be back from the vet, and we should be able to let you know how she's doing.
Does she have a cone on her head? Will that be a thing?
Probably, because this mass. Well, you know what? The mass is far up enough on her side that I don't think she'd be able to get to it.
She can't reach it.
Yeah, I don't know.
She would require the kindness of other dogs to lick it for her.
Please lick that. Hey, could you get that for me? Could you lick that?
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, gnaw on a little bit.
Hey, Daisy, come here for a second. Just for a second.
Totally.
That's great. Totally, well, we'll get an update tonight. And
we saw, you know, speaking of those cones, we saw somebody the other day walking a dog that had what looked like an inflatable pool ring around their dog's neck.
Okay.
like the dog just, you know, went right through a little miniature inner tube. And I thought, you know, that's probably, if that is what that's for, if that really is for a kind of an alternative to the cone, that's awesome. That's an awesome idea because, you know, the cone has this big sharp edge in the front. They're like a big steam shovel and they pick up everything that they go near, knock stuff off tables. And this thing at least would be soft.
Uh-huh.
And it got me thinking, why not make little Elizabethan collars for your dog? That they could wear instead of a cone.
With the ruffly accents,
exactly,
and all that?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I love that, actually. I think that's pretty good.
I think we need to make that happen.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot. Actually, that seems like a pretty... And it's less... You know, I don't think dogs care, but I think it's less humiliating than a cone. A cone is so humiliating.
I think it's a different kind of humiliating.
right. But you could cosplay it up, right? You could...
Right. Give them a little, you know, the little cuffs too, right, to match.
Yeah. Walk around going, oh my, I have not been to court in too long. You know, they could be total a-holes about it.
To pee or not to pee? That is the question.
That's good stuff. Chaos Child in the chat room pipes up and says, Scott Johnson and Coverville, in my opinion, if a human is suffering that way, you should let them choose to end their lives painlessly. 90% of our motivation for keeping people's lives as long as we can is selfish. We just don't want them to leave. I kind of agree. I feel like if I'm 90, Brian, let's say you're in charge of me when I'm 90, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm peeing blood. I got to...
That's probably the way it will be, you know. Heck with your family, anything like that.
Right.
I'll be managing your health because I'll be 90 as well.
I've grown a vestigial tail. One of my legs is gangrenous. I got a nipple that has developed both eyesight and taste. You know, something real bad's going on, and it hurts. I'm in pain all the time. I'm being scanned and shot up with stuff, and I just want to go. It's time to go.
Yeah.
I want you to be able to, as my executor, say, please unplug that man. He should go now. You're just prolonging the inevitable. He's going to die. I feel like that's a thing people should have the option for. We should be like dogs.
I think so, too.
I guess the dogs don't have the option. It's not like the dog's making the decision. Yeah, I think it's time you put me down. I'm not feeling it.
This is about it. And that happens so much more with pets and not being able to make that decision and say, no, we need, you know, we don't care how much pain she's in or what quality of life. Let's keep her alive as long as possible. And you got to take that in consideration as well.
That's true. All right. Well, we've all learned something today. What I've learned is Brian Dunaway doesn't like steam.
I don't like steam.
All right. That's not true. Not,
especially not on his group.
That was edited to sound like he doesn't like steam when actually he does. What he really meant to say was... All right, it's time.
That's amazing. You know, when Brian Dunaway doesn't stick to the teleprompter.
I know. Magical things happen. Reminder, we already told you. So the show is tonight. It's 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time, right here in the Mountain Time Zone, the only time zone that matters. It's me and it's Brian, so be here. If you want to be here live for it, that'd be great. Tell your friends, blah, 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 blah. Also, Nerdtacular tickets still for sale. Nerdtacular.com. Go there now. Check it out. They're for sale. It's up. We're well over the halfway mark. We're going to run out of these damn things. So if you're coming, you need to get your tickets soon. Okay, I got a story for you real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll get to Daryl.
Okay. Actually, before we get to Daryl, let's get to Cowboy. But I want to hear about...
Oh, is there a Cowboy thing going on
today?
There's
a Cowboy thing. Yep.
Oh, all right. I was unaware of the Cowboy thing.
Well, it wasn't a scheduled Cowboy thing, but he's in Skype, and I know what it's about, and we'll want to...
All right, great.
Yeah.
All right, here's the deal. Yesterday, get a letter in the mail. When we moved, we immediately did the thing you're supposed to do. My business is here at the house, right? It's here in the studio. Mm-hmm. This is where I conduct Frog Pants business. So I immediately went to the city and said, hi, we need to just register the business with the city so that we're registered and everything's legal on the up and up. Here's the forms to fill out. Here's what you need to tell us. I did all of that. Sent it in. They said, you need to take it downtown. Fine. We went above and beyond, went downtown, took it to all this rigmarole, through all this red tape, took it to the right people. Done. Should have been done. Jump ahead a couple of months. Get a letter in the mail. And it says, we are denying your business application.
What?
Yeah. They've denied it.
Okay.
They have denied Frog Pants as a business in this.
Why? Site.
Well, here's the deal. So the letter says first of all, this city's crazy. They have this ordinance where if you have a business in your house, they will blanket your neighborhood within a 3-mile radius with flyers saying, there is a business in that house. Are you okay with it? That's what they do.
Really? With so many people working at home, that seems like such a waste of government money.
It's a complete
money,
waste. And here, now you're getting to the
Here's
core
a lady
of my...
lady making cupcakes in your kitchen. Do you approve?
Yeah, and you're getting to the core of my problem here.
Yeah.
Because I'm not even the cupcake lady where they're shipping, coming in, things coming out.
Right.
I don't sell
right.
out of my house. I don't have a warehouse. I don't do things here that require any traffic.
Play, you know, like a masseuse or something
nope,
like that.
Where, nope, yeah. None of that stuff, which do exist in lots of places. It is all digital all the time. It's podcasts, it's art, it's stuff I do here, and it all goes over the wires, and that is it. That's the
data
only
go in,
impact.
Data come out.
Yes, that's it. There's nothing else. And so,
right.
But they still, this ordinance makes it they have to pass it around. And if some yahoo goes, well, I don't know if I feel good about a business being two houses down from me. Then he can pipe up and...
I would have approved if I didn't find out the name was Frog Pants.
Yeah, what the hell is going on over there? So he could have a big complaint, and then they have to review it. It's this big rigmarole. But that's not what happened here. That was just part of the ordinance. What happened here was they said you didn't have a license to finish your basement, and it says here that your business is in your basement, which is finished now. That's a problem. And we went, what, you mean just the room? Because we just put up walls and stuff and, you know, covered these walls yeah. with stuff. It's no big deal. No, what they meant is the house has been on the record in the city since it was built in 2007 as stating that it never had a finished basement. That's somebody else's mistake, not mine, right?
Right.
So right. we're like, no, that we call them. We're like, the basement is finished. Well, we'll have to schedule a class 1B52 bullshit. Trip out there to look at everything. They'd have to come do an inspection.
Right, right.
And I said, okay, I guess that's fine, but for now what? And they're like, well, for now it's suspended. It's in limbo, but we'll get this result. You know, they want to get it resolved. Here's my big issue. So maybe it'll all work out and everything will be fine. There'll be no issues. That'll be fine with me because the house has been finished forever. It's just the original owner never told anyone he was doing the basement. And I guess you have to get a license, a contractor thing or something. I don't know what you have to do, but it's all a bunch of crap. It's a guy's house. You should be able to build what he wants in there, right? I get you can't make a death trap. You need to, like, you know, follow code and everything. But the house is to code. Everything's good. We've had it inspected. It's one. It's the right hand not knowing what the left hand is doing. All right? So that's the right. bottom line there. Here's where I stand with it. I live in one of the most conservative states in the union. A state which has a lot of diversity, but when it comes to legislation, our elected officials sit around a lot going, we ain't letting no government come in here and take our stuff. No government should have a hand in my daily routine. You know, they just want to have no right. government anytime, all the time, except when it comes to their freaking paycheck and their health care.
Then they're happy to have government. Yeah.
Yeah, then they're thrilled about that. But the point is that they are constantly talking about this. They wanted to go to, remember the gold standard article we talked about on the show once?
Oh,
they want
yeah,
to go back
yeah.
to a freaking gold standard. They want to do all these things to get away from government. Away, away, away. Well, how about in your own backyard, you'd have a little less of that going on here. I shouldn't have to freaking beg my local city to figure out how to give me a permit and spend a bunch of money and time right. on a digital business. What a bunch of red tape and goo to tiptoe through.
Ugh.
I hate it. And it's not even, you know what? It isn't even that bad yet, but I smell a problem and I'm irritated. Bugged about it. My last, yeah. the last city I was in, Eagle Mountain, no problem. Signed up for it. Hey, good. Thanks. Welcome. Good. Good to go. No problem. Here, they've got all these picky rules, and I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't understand it. It's like they're living in 1972.
Well, you can't possibly have a business coming out of your house unless there's 14 trucks lined up in the front.
That's right. There's no sort of business that doesn't require lots of shipping and importing and exporting. And
it's just red tape, and it's government red tape, and it's the very thing our conservative state constantly talks about how they want less of. You know, you could start here, guys. You could start right here and have less of it. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Right. How about think locally?
Gosh.
Now, as part of this thing of determining whether or not you're operating a business or able to operate this business out of your house,
yeah.
You think they'd be listening?
No, I don't know if they are or not. I mean, come on over. Take a look at the place.
Yeah. No, listen, sit in on the show. We'll have you as a special guest.
Yeah, be no problem. Look, come see how digital it is. It's a computer right. and stuff going over the. Now, what's this internet you're talking about? That's who I feel like I'm dealing with here. And that's
now, what exactly comes in on this gray wire over here?
And this is this is a state and a city. Well, we're a suburb of Salt Lake, but so I wouldn't count South Jordan. But we are progressive technologists here. We always have been. We're the home of Novell, the birthplace of WordPerfect. There's a long legacy of great technology, minds, and people. University of Utah spawned the guys who founded Adobe. Like, it's a big deal here, right? It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And yet some local people are acting like they don't know what the hell I'm doing. I don't know what's going on. We have more. There was a thing the other day. There are more. Some survey about the most technologically and broadband ready communities in the country or whatever. Mm-hmm. We're always on that list. Google is bringing it to Provo, their fiber deal, right. And they're looking at Salt Lake next.
Yeah, not to Denver, but to Provo and Salt Lake.
Right, yep. Because we are savvy that way. But the local officials here in the freaking South Jordan City, I think, are one-eyed toad buckets who don't know what the hell they're doing. I hope they hear this, because I'm irritated. All right, moving on. Let's see.
We need more Ron Swansons in government.
Yeah, we do. So we're bringing who in?
A man should be able to start a business in his house.
Cowboy, right?
If that business is cooking steak.
Right. Exactly. Hold on. He needs to call us.
Cowboy. Here, let me... Because
he's not showing up for me. Is he not online? He might be on his phone.
Oh, maybe he's on his phone. Huh.
Yeah, so he may have to call us. So what are we... Okay, here he is. Let's add him to the group. Hey, Cowboy, what's up, man?
What is going on?
Cowboy!
How you doing, dude?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
We're good. Making it work. Having it happen.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, man, I heard your rant. And there was one part of that rant about the stuff you're going through with the city there.
Yeah.
You said you wanted the most diverse states.
Yeah.
In the youth?
Yeah, we got a lot of diversity. Dude, we were voted the most gay-friendly city last year by LGBT magazine something-something.
Like, where's the black people at?
Oh, they're all over the place. Are you kidding me? we're lousy with black people. Yeah. No, I got black neighbors. No, it's not. Let me say it this way. It doesn't mean that we have the highest population, but we've got a lot of diversity. We got a lot of different communities, Greek communities, Tongan communities, big group of sort of Latin American community, that kind of stuff. But moreover, it's a state that's considered in a lot of ways rather progressive in those areas, but stinky terrible when it comes to, just ultra conservative when it comes to like governmental stuff.
Right.
But if they're going to be conservative, fine. I don't have a problem with that. But that's part of your plan is less government. So quit shoving it down my freaking throat.
I hear you, man.
I don't get it. If I lived in like Vermont or somewhere that's like where I can't think of a super liberal state. Let's say, is Vermont that anymore? They used to be.
Vermont's a good one. Yeah.
Let's say it's them. Washington. Fine. If I'm living there and you guys are all up in my business constantly, well, I get what I pay for. But here you're supposed to be pro small business. They are always talking about that. Oh, the small business is always getting kicked aside by all this government regulation. Well, quit doing it to me then, hypocrites. All right. Anyway, So what's up, man? You have something big on your mind. What's going on?
Oh man. Yeah. I'm calling to give the results of if you haven't seen of the hot dog man's guess.
Oh, the baby guess, right?
Yeah,
because originally he had guessed,
on the races of the kids.
Because originally, he had predicted A, that she'd be pregnant, and B, that it was going to be twins. Right.
Right.
Okay.
And then the third thing he predicted was that it was going to be twin boys.
Right. That's correct.
Yeah.
So we found out yesterday.
Yeah.
It's going to be girls.
Oh, dude, that guy's in trouble now.
Hot dog man.
Take that. Can't get two out of three. You only get two out of three, buddy. He's like the Trek nerd on a bad week.
I know, man. It's just. You know, I think Ice One said that he can't always be right. So.
No, that's true. How could you?
Now, how sure can they be these days? Because, they can be 100% sure with the ultrasound if they see a penis, right? Obviously. Uh-huh. How certain can they be that it just wasn't, turned the wrong way or a really funky
vagina?
So here we go. So the way you find out if they're girls, when they go into that angle to see their goods, there's three lines. There's three visible lines of the anatomy.
Yeah.
There are three lines.
Yeah. I'm psyched for you, man. Girls are the best.
All right.
Yeah, man. So I'm excited. I'm really excited. I'm happy for Renee and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I had no preference and everything, because, you know, I already have a girl and two sons.
What if you're in the delivery room? All right. You're standing behind Renee. You got your hand on her shoulder reassuringly. She's doing the breathing. Everything's going well. Nurses are smiling. Doctor's down there like a catcher's mitt doctor, you know, ready to go. And then they pop out and they're boys. And then he goes, No, they'd still be girls, wouldn't they? No, you said boy. No, they're girls, right?
the girls.
Okay, what if they pop out with boys, and then he goes, well, I just think maybe they just had weird-looking vaginas. Turns out you had boys. Then the guy's right about everything. Then what do we do? I'm just throwing out a hypothetical here. What do you do then if that guy's right about the whole thing?
That would be weird.
Yeah.
But then we already have names picked out. We had names for boys also.
So. Oh, you did? Okay. You don't want to tell us the names, do you?
Do you want to tell the names, Renee? Renee?
If there are boys, they were going to be named Scott and Brian. I know. We know.
So, girls, the names are going to be Zoe Lane.
Yeah.
And then Zoe Lane's one, and the other one is Maya Alexandria.
I was hoping for Laney Zoe for the second
one. And then if it was boys, we were going to do Luke Anthony or Anthony James.
Nice.
Uh-huh. But then we had to figure out a third name. There was one part we were thinking about doing like Scott and Brian, but we was like, that's too weird.
It is weird.
I'm saying, but I'm just like, you know, if we didn't know you guys, we would totally do it.
Yeah. If you didn't know us at all, you know,
everybody's going to be like, oh, they named their kids after Scott and Brian. Yeah. Because Brian Scott Valentine. I mean, that's an awesome name.
That's all right. Yeah. I'd take that. I had a friend in high school and named their kid Scotty. Yeah, Scotty was named after me. And to this day, I just think that I wonder if that kid regrets it. I see him. He's all grown up now. He's like 24, beautiful little baby, just married, cool guy. And I go, man, your name is that. You're named after me. What happened, I was a dork. So I wonder how he feels now. But that's great.
Zoe Valentine and Maya Valentine, those are awesome names. Those are like celebrity names.
Yeah, those are good.
Yep.
Let's hope they don't become celebrities, though. That's rough on a parent.
Yeah, so I guess I should, since I announced that, I probably should go get those domains real quick.
Yeah, go register those, dude.
All right.
If it's boys, it's Anthony Daniels and Luke Skywalker. We heard you once, so you don't have to say it again. Have a good day.
All right.
All right. There you go. That's it.
Very good.
I would never name my kid Anthony Daniels because he played C-3PO.
Anthony Daniels.
Yeah. Shut down the trash compactors on the freaking trash level or whatever.
The odds of naming your child Anthony Daniels are 300
It's not bad. What you did right there was not bad.
All right.
Let's call Daryl because we have an agreement to do this.
Yes. We are contractually bound.
Yeah, we don't really have an option not to. So let's see here. Okay, there he is. And that means we can go over here and we can play his theme. And then we're off to the races, everybody. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
The Geek IO Network is a website started by CJ Boat and some like-minded Frog Pants fans and has grown to include 10 podcasts and a number of geek-related blogs. And they want to grow. I don't know why I'm doing that voice. They have an Indiegogo project over at geek-io.com/Indiegogo to allow them to get better hardware and attend more events to get people the coverage that they want. There's some great rewards on offer, including original artwork and recordings, including a custom piece of music where Gabe Willis will write and record a 90-second song just for you. Go to geek-io.com/Indiegogo to find out more.
Sounds good to me. On the line, we have...
Adel Dalzin.
No, we don't. It's Daryl. Daryl Skeels.
Daryl Dalzin.
Daryl, hello. How you doing?
Hello.
Hey, man.
The solution to your city problem is to... The moral of the story is always work under the table.
Oh, is that how to do it? Because that's the problem here. I want to be upstanding, upright citizen. I want to be guy who does things by the rules because... I believe in the rule of law, and I also believe in honesty, and it's a big deal for me. So when I play by the rules, and then the city has to be a dick about it, I am left with little alternative other than to do subterfuge. Not saying I'm going to, but geez. Like, I mean,
they don't want you to abide by their rules, or they'd make it possible and easy. So just do what they want, which is go under the table.
Ugh. I mean, it's frustrating because I'm paying my taxes. I'm doing it lawfully. I'm doing it all the way I'm supposed to do it. And for them to get all a hair up their butt as, oh, this basement didn't have a license to be a basement. What does that have to do with anything? Come down here then. Have a look. Okay, we'll send they're going to send a guy down. If that doesn't work, if that's still a problem after that, I may seriously have to cut somebody. Like, that really bothers me. Anyway, that's not a real threat, everybody. Calm down, FBI. Everything's fine. All right, let's get to the show here. Let's do what we have to do and do what you have to do, which is to answer a hard trivia Star Trek question. And this comes on the heels of this fantastic week of Photoshop jobs on Daryl's photo with his guns. It's fantastic.
I love that.
It's been amazing. Awesome. It's an amazing thread. If you haven't seen it, join the Tadpole group on Facebook and you'll have your mind blown. You know, we used to do these kind of things on forums. You know, this used to be a forum thing to do. Is it me or are forums going away? And I have one. You know, I run one. There's one for this show, in fact. You'd think that'd be a great place to have this. But I feel like everybody's just shifted off to Twitter and Facebook now. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, I think there's still a place for forums.
Oh, but, of course, but there's a place for vinyl records and for printed books. That's my whole point, is I feel like it's a thing that won't go away entirely, but it is no longer the...
That's true. It's, you know, when you look at groups, like, you know, basically having a forum is a way to have a topic in a group and then have people chime in on that topic. And Facebook does that so well in a place where you're already communicating and chatting with people that maybe Facebook has swallowed the forum.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Could be. Who knows? Facebook or other things. I mean, I think it's just a diversity of things that are no longer this one place you go and have to log in and... You know, the forum structure, it's I'm starting to feel like an old grandpa thing on the internet. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see how it all turns out. Daryl, all right, let's get to your old grandpa question here. In the original series episode, The Naked Time, the Enterprise is investigating the planet PSI 2000. Sounds like a bad car.
How much you need to inflate that planet.
So let's see. Spock and Lieutenant Junior Grade Joe Tormolin. Mm-hmm. Is this name right? Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Okay. Beam down to find the station frozen along with the people working there. Oh, that's right. The people covered in like that white Christmas powder stuff. Mm-hmm. Spock and Tormolin, a.k.a. Joe, beam back to determine what caused the people to freeze. They look into some tapes. What tapes does Yeoman Rand hand to Spock? Were these spectroanalysis tapes? Were they geoanalysis tapes? Were they thermoanalysis tapes? Or were they bioanalysis tapes? They were tapes. That's the funny part. Tapes. Jeez. Jeez, 60s. Did you think those were going to last forever? All right.
I guess they thought it would be like films.
They probably did,
just call them tapes.
It's a totally good point. Okay, Brian's about to feel the pain.
Are you hungry?
Are you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
He has not had a chance to eat that flour gum, and he got the replacement set while he was gone.
Hilarious. And I love the packaging says, it still tastes like soap.
Yeah. Exactly. I gave one to Nick yesterday, and I thought he was going to hurl on me.
Great.
So I think you'll like it. It's real refreshing.
Popping one out of the container right now, out of the foil blister pack.
Yeah.
Popping it in my mouth.
All right. Chew that thing. Give it a little choo-choo.
Yeah.
It tastes like grandma's neck, right?
It does. It tastes like soap.
Yeah. It's like washing your mouth out with soap. I feel like parents should stock up on these and use these instead of the traditional soap in the mouth thing.
Oh, no kidding. You have to chew this for 20 minutes now.
Yeah, here you go. Like on Toy Story, or not Toy Story, the Christmas Story, where she made him eat the soap. It's like that, because he said fudge.
Right.
While his dad was changing the tire.
All right, yeah. Have I done enough?
You've done enough. You've taken the...
It does. It tastes like I'm eating a bouquet of roses is basically what it is.
It tastes like...
Your butt.
All right, great.
Brian's I used to eat roses when I was about a year old, so...
Really?
Maybe that's why I didn't hate it that much.
Well, they're good for you. Rose petals are... They're supposed to be... Well, I don't know much. I can't prove this, and certainly the FDA has not approved these statements that I'm about to make, but they're supposed to be healthy and like a naturalistic... homeopathic remedies or something. People put rose petals and rose oil and all sorts of crap. I can tell you this. You know, so I'm a huge skeptic when it comes to any of that crap. Someone walks up to me and goes, yeah, if you rub this on your foot, it'll take care of all your woes. You know, that kind of stuff just makes me not believe them by default. But I think I could tell people generally, and this has been medically proven in some studies, that cinnamon, like the raw cinnamon powder, not like the oil, but cinnamon, straight up cinnamon, get it in pill form and stuff.
The dry, yeah.
That is, during that diverticulitis freak out, that has easily been the most like soothing thing I could do. That really helped. It's supposed to be a natural anti-inflammatory. It's good on your intestinal walls and stuff like that. And a good sort of digestant. It's good on sugar level stuff. Helps control sugar levels and metabolism. I can't speak to any of the science of it, but I can tell you that those made a difference. And when I didn't take those, it was worse. And when I took them, it was better. And I had no expectation one way or the other. And they're nice because if you burp them up after you eat them, because the little thing breaks and now you burp it up, it just tastes like cinnamon. It's like you have a nice, refreshing little cinnamon aftertaste.
Yeah, I'm burping up soap with this.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I'm drinking some coffee. Daryl, did you say the coffee does not go well with these?
Oh, yes. It makes it way worse.
What if you put it in the coffee and dissolve it?
Oh, wow. No kidding.
No, I'm sure it's the worst thing ever.
Massive amounts of coffee will drown that out.
Well, those are two special kinds of bitter, right? Because one's a more of a caustic bitter and the other one's a nice-smelling bitter, but they're both bitter, so I don't think you're supposed
to bitter. Put those together. Yeah, it's weird.
All right, Daryl, back to what are we doing here? Birthdays. You got any birthdays?
Birthdays. Let me look here. Yes, somewhere. Oh, here it is. Hal Needham, who died last... Well, he died last year at age 82.
Needham? Didn't even meet him.
All right. He directed Smokey and the Bandit and Cannonball Run.
Oh.
And on Star Trek, he was the stunt double for Gary Lockwood in the second pilot, Where No Man Has Gone Before.
I have a clip of him. Here he is, right here. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Brian. That was Brian Ibbett the other day.
That was that damn dog.
Got that wrong.
Get that damn pooping dog off of this damn plane.
You didn't have a return back with any problems, right? No problems on
none
the...
None at all. I actually was in exactly the same seat. Different plane, obviously, but same seat. And a very nice couple sat next to me, and she watched Dallas Buyers Club on her Surface 2 while her husband watched something on a DVD in the aisle seat, and I just sat there. I dozed off because didn't sleep very well the night before, and the most pleasant flight I've had in a long time.
Wow, that's great. Did you say every to her, you got a Surface 2?
See, that's the thing. That would be the other tablet I would buy, honestly.
Well, here's the deal. Mm-hmm. They wish you would because they're not selling at all right now.
No, they're waiting, and those prices are going to go down, and I'm going to pick one up just for that awesome art program that they have on there with the, that and the stylus. It is the most, that's one thing that you just cannot get an equivalent of on the iPad is the
pressure sensitivity.
Program.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a beautiful, beautiful
freaking
art program,
What's his name? Mike at Penny Arcade uses it for all his whenever he's drawing on the road.
I can see why. Yeah. I totally can see why. Because I want to draw my the thing I came up with this last weekend. I want to draw a picture of Father Guido Sarducci. After listening to Current Geek and you guys talking about Guidos and Guidos, I want to draw a picture of Father Guido Sarducci
as Guido or as Guido.
As Guido. So basically, yes.
That's brilliant. Scott Kurtz, on the other hand, hated it. He went and got one under his recommendation and did not like it and sold it. Didn't like it at all. So,
really?
Yeah, I think it's a little mixed, but I agree with you as tablets go, if you're looking for a multi-purpose, like computery kind of tablet that will let you draw well, that's probably the best one right now.
That's the reason to get one. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So what are we doing now? Oh yeah. Daryl, back to your question here. Damn it. Oh, and happy birthday to that dead guy. That's great. you want to break this one down? You want to tell us if you think it's spectro, geo, thermo, or bioanalysis?
Spectro, geo,
spectro. Is spectro sounds like a bad villain in one of the comic book, like in a Marvel comic book, doesn't it? Spectro.
Yeah, or sounds like what the dentist tells you to do in the sink.
Yeah, spectro that when you're done in the sink. Exactly.
Yeah.
I hate the dentist. Don't bring that up anymore. I hate him so bad. I canceled a dentist appointment on Wednesday because I had another thing happen yesterday that I couldn't get out of, but it felt so good to cancel it. And it was just a cleaning, like a regular checkup, but I was like, yeah, I can't come in today. I got a thing. Okay, sir, no problem. Let us know when you want to come back. I'm like, did a little dance when I was done. I mean, I'm not kidding. I hung up that phone and went, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Freaking hate it. Okay. Sorry, Daryl.
Okay, my first thought was Spectro.
Spectro. I'll get you, Spider-Man.
And, okay, what's the third one?
Thermo.
Thermo.
Thermo. Oh, it wasn't that.
You bumbling idiots. Thermo, go get Thermo, He-Man. Man. Geo.
So what was the question again?
The question was, Yeoman Rand hand some tapes to Spock after their trip to the snow planet, and it was either a spectral analysis, geo, thermo, or bioanalysis.
I think they had both spectro and bio. So I think this is a weirdly worded question.
Mm. You think he handed them both? Or got handed two of them to him? That's an interesting twist, if that's what you're saying.
I'm going to just say A, because that's my first thought. But it Spectrum. Could be bio, because I think those were in there somewhere.
My guess was bio, without looking at the answer, my guess is bio because because it was people that were frozen. You know, mm-hmm. like they want to check out what's going on with them. Because that dude touched it, remember? The Joe guy?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and then they get the rattlesnake sound and goo on their hands that they have to rub off or
right,
whatever.
Right, right. That's so stupid. So what do you... So Spectro or Bio? What do you think?
I'm going to stick with Spectro just because I kind of remember them saying that. But it could be bio because I think there was bio in there too. But I'll say Spectro.
All right. Well, let's find out. Is it Spectro? Is it super Marvel supervillain Spectro?
Congratulations.
Nicely done.
You're a winner.
You did it. It's Yeoman Rand says the next tape is the Spectro analysis tape. They play it and determine or can't determine. Hat caused the situation. He meant what? But he wrote hat.
Hat.
Spock also says the instruments or the instruments only register what they are designed to, and that space still contains many unknowns. We also get Sulu with a sword. Here is a clip with Sulu with a sword.
Stab! No, father.
Oh my.
No escape for you. You either leave this bar bloodied or with my blood on your swords.
Why?
Really?
Yeah. Really? Why? How come he had that bad accent? That was really bad. Your blood on my sword. Ah.
He's trying to be medieval, I guess.
I guess he went medieval on their asses. You are correct, Daryl. Way to go. That's a perfect week, man. You got every day right this week, including today. So that's impressive business, considering your last two were terrible.
That donation guy can make a donation now.
Oh, that's right. Isn't that how it works, Brian? The guy can make a donation on perfect weeks.
Yes, yes.
All right. We need to remind him, because it's like waking him up. Hey, dude, Brian, Daryl got it all right this week.
Totally, exactly. Right.
All right. So good job. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He is also This Week in Trek's own Daryl Scales at thisweekintrek.com. You can find him there and wherever podcasts are downloaded. Daryl will give us a quick game of something.
Star Trek disease or actual disease?
Star Trek disease or actual disease? That feels good to me. Go for it.
I feel like screaming after that music. Yeah. Okay. Doric syndrome.
Doric?
Doric?
Mm-hmm.
Can we get a spelling of Doric?
D-O-R-E-K.
Doric syndrome. I feel very Star Trek-y to me.
Yeah, I'm leaning Star Trek too. All okay. Right,
we say Star Trek.
You said Star Trek 2? You're wrong. It was Deep Space Nine.
The Wrath of Khan. All right, so it was Star Trek. Yay, we're awesome.
Had, Doric syndrome on Deep Space Nine.
I don't know. He hung up, so who knows?
Oh.
And when I say he hung up,
yes,
I may mean
we
I
know,
did.
He had nothing to do
he
with it.
He may have had nothing to do with it.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by The Daily Tech News Show, starring Tom Merritt at dailytechnewsshow.com. Hop on over there today and see how tech coverage should be.
I agree. It's really good.
It is great. It's entertaining, informative. Yeah. And did I mention entertaining?
Yeah. It's all about analysis over there, and nobody does that better than Tom and his guests.
It's true. This is true.
Daily news show in Russia is a very popular show. Airs in the evening. It's on their television over there.
You watch Daily News Show right now.
And
it's a very good show.
Lovely host lady host, okay. Who is very popular over there. She got up during a news broadcast and walked off the air and quit on the air.
Wow.
In protest of Putin's movements in the Ukraine.
Wow. Good for her. That is a very visible protest right
and
there.
And that is some brave business considering you live in a country where they could do all sorts of terrible things to you for this. The conflict in the Ukraine can be difficult to sort out, but one of the most recent edition on Vesti Nedeli. Am I saying that right? Vesti Nedel Dazin.
I'm not saying. Oh, there it is up there. Vesti Nedeli. Yeah, that's exactly how I'd
okay. pronounce that. I think that's right. Why is that playing? Stop playing. Yeah, I believe that's right. Let's try it one more time. That's it. Russia's most popular evening news program, a sober-voiced announcer, broke down into very simple terms and said, experts are more and more comparing the actions of these nationalists with those who came to power in Germany in the 1930s. That was a moment of restraint, a throbbing cinematic soundtrack accompanied by nightmarish images. Officials forced to their knees, heads bowed before baying mobs, a masked man with a swastika armband. The events of Kiev, the announcer said, were a cocktail of revolutionary ecstasy and criminal disorder. They went on to talk more and more and more about how terrible all things went and that this is the beginning of that and we're not into it.
Wow.
That's kind of a big deal.
That's a huge deal.
Especially because I think the state still owns all of these news organizations. I'm super bad at like foreign policy stuff and all that, but I'd love to know more about how big a deal that is or whatever. But yeah, all this stuff's pretty bad and people are freaking out about it.
Yeah, we have listeners in Kiev who sent in requests. I played one on the show last week and our hearts are going out to all the people who are suffering because of this and just the atrocities that are that happened a couple of weeks ago against all the people who are protesting. So
well, I have a couple of Ukrainian friends. I have a nephew. And he is a nephew, isn't he? Wait, let me think. Yeah, I have a nephew who spent a couple of years over there, and he's got a bunch of friends there he's worried about. So it's just bad. It's bad all around, man. Why do we got to fight? What's that all about? Go watch that. There's this great video floating around with Carl Sagan narrating it. It comes from his book, The Pale Blue Dot. I don't know if you've ever read that. It's insanely good.
Really?
Yeah, but this is his audiobook version of it. And then somebody edited together a bunch of scenes and stuff. I'll send you this video later. It is incredibly thought-provoking. And I wish that the leaders in charge of all this bullshit would actually watch that and take it to heart. It's pretty intense.
Captain Kipper tells me. Whoops, hold on. Let me pause, mute the volume on this. Captain Kipper and the Tadpole said that a second one quit yesterday.
Oh wow!
So
more
two of them. Yep, two. And they're American presenters on the Russian-backed TV station Russia Today.
They're Americans. So
they're American. Yep, American presenters. So I guess they go. So Abby Martin was the one who did it on Tuesday. I believe that's the one we're talking about.
Might be.
And Liz Wall did it yesterday and just, you know, said, that's it. I don't believe in what's going on here and bye-bye.
Yeah. And then Putin took a shirt off and went.
Vladimir Putin.
Now, wait, which way is it?
Vladimir Putin.
I don't know. You can't tell.
It's a tin of poo.
A poo tin, if you will.
Yes.
Here's some.
Looks like a leopard poo.
Back to domestic issues here in these United States. Massachusetts has kind of a big deal go down yesterday. It turns out upskirt cell phone photos are not illegal, according to the High Court in Massachusetts.
This kicks down the door for all those people who have been oppressed for far too long.
Perverts unite. Your chance has come.
This is your Massachusetts.
Yeah, take
this
it
is
back.
Your Massachusetts.
Take back your upskirt photos, Boston.
Massachusetts highest court ruled Wednesday that a man who took cell phone photos up the skirts of women using the Boston subway did not violate state law because the women were not nude or partially nude. The Supreme Court judicial court overruled a lower court that had upheld charges that Michael Robertson, sounds like a pervert, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Who, no offense to anybody else. probably a common name. Anyway, who was, he was arrested August 2010 by transit police who set up a sting after getting reports that he was using a cell phone to take photos and video up female riders' skirts and dresses. The ruling immediately prompted top Beacon Hill lawmakers to pledge to update state law. Here's the deal. Mm-hmm. I know it's more complicated than this, and I know there's a lot of shades of gray and judiciary issues and stuff. We don't need any encouragement for dudes running around with cell phones taking pictures of people's skirts. This should be. I don't care if she's wearing 8 layers of clothes.
Right, exactly.
This is bad form. This is a violation of anyone's privacy because you know what he's doing. He's not just doing it to be funny or whatever. It's because he's trying to look at people's goods. He's right, being a freak.
Exactly.
So what you're doing here is it's a diss to women, and it pisses me off.
And the way they phrase it makes there's so many different shades of gray, right? It's like, okay, well, they're not nude or partially nude. Well, all right, let's define this. Like, all right, let's say she's wearing a skirt but not any underwear.
Sure.
Does that make it okay?
I mean,
she's nude. She's nude where you're taking the picture.
Right.
Or what if it's something see-through or whatever? You know, I mean, I don't want to get too graphic. Right. But
I mean, look, I think that, you know, it's as simple as this. The guy's, he is being a peeping Tom in public.
Yes, exactly.
That should be enough. That's enough. It doesn't matter how little or more she's wearing.
Right.
Or if it's a dude. Who cares who it is? I don't think the guy should be able to do it with a dog.
Mm-hmm.
You freak. All right.
Unless that dog is wearing a skirt. In that case, you can definitely take a picture of it.
Right. Now, I'm not saying we want, you know, I'm over here complaining about government and bugging my business. I'm sure there are some businesses that are all about upskirt photos on the internet. I'm sure that exists. But I don't think this is the same. You're violating people's rights. Quit doing that.
Right.
All right. That's it for that. Tweaked Audio is sponsoring the program today. Yay. With their fine audio products like the Tweaked Classic, the Tweaked Mic'd Classic, or maybe even the Tweaked California. I like the Tweaked California quite a bit. They have 7 great colors to choose from, great design. They all sound good with music and talk, and you should get a pair today. And if you do, save some money, 33% off with our regular code STREAM at checkout. That's STREAM at checkout at tweakedaudio.com. Please go there. Please buy them, and please enjoy them. Okay? Okay.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop brought to you by...
Get your subscription to Retro Gaming Magazine now at tiny.cc/retrosub, featuring comics from Scott Johnson.
It's a cool magazine. I know, you know, you talk about, is there still a place for magazines? I believe yes in this case. This is a really nicely made, big format, really great stock and cover. Beautiful artist doing cover art.
You make
it
even cooler with your contribution.
I agree. It's cool. People should get it. It's retro, is what it's called. Retro Gaming Magazine.
Retro. Find out how to beat that level in Contra.
Exactly. Miley Cyrus is using teleprompters to remember her own lyrics on her Bangers tour. It's underway. She's been doing it for a while. Pop stars reportedly...
I can't end like Adele does it.
She's using this teleprompter now. She's 21. I thought she was younger. Whatever. It's fine. Been performing around the United States at her Las Vegas concert, used teleprompters placed at the base of the stage, which fed her lyrics during the song that she sang. To be fair, Miley, who does have a very involved concert, filled with dance moves, props, and giant hot dogs, is not surprised that she might, you know, feel the need at times to check out a teleprompter and get reminded. She also has smoked marijuana on stage during the tour may hinder her memory, according to Fox. Yes. Great.
Right. Okay. So let me make sure. Okay. The lyric is la di da da di. Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Got it. Pardee. Someone put it up on the teleprompter.
Dancing with what? Who?
Who? Molly? No. Marty. Who? All right. And then finally, we're hurtling ever closer to Wendy here. Two Oscar voters picked 12 Years a Slave without watching it.
Oh, jeez.
This is nice. In the lead-up to the 86th Annual Academy Awards, one prevalent meme was that some Oscar voters simply didn't want to watch 12 Years a Slave. As it turns out, this was true. At least two anonymous members of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences apparently never saw Steve McQueen's eventual Best Picture winner. This despite placing the film atop their Oscar ballots and having it win Best Picture for the year. I'm sure this is not the first year this has happened, by the way. I'm no expert, but I'm guessing some of these people on that board have missed a movie or two and still voted for it. Because everyone
I really didn't
it.
Want to watch Lincoln.
Yeah, but I'm voting for it. Anyway. Yeah, they voted for it anyway because given the film's social relevance, they felt obligated. That's not the way you do this sort of thing.
Wow, no kidding.
Maybe see that it on its own merits. You know?
That is a huge, I mean, that, you know, again, it's probably no surprise that this happens, but now that this information is out,
mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be some heads are going to roll, baby.
Yeah, watch for heads, everyone.
I think you should just be required. Who cares if you don't want to see it? If it's one of the nominated films, listen, if I can do it.
Yeah, Brian Nibbett can get all 12 in or whatever, 10, 9?
9, yeah.
I'll just keep going down until I get the right number.
Yes. Do I hear nine?
It's like, what do they have to do all day? They're all a bunch of fuddy-duddy Hollywood types. They can totally watch this movie.
Yes. Come on now, people. And what else do you have to do? What else do you have going on, big Hollywood Academy exec?
Well, my son's got a soccer game at 4, and I got a manicure at 3.
All right, so we're gonna go to break.
It just has slavery in it. We can pretty much figure it out from the trailer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's good. It's got that chewy to etch-a-de-four man in it. It's everything's fun.
I'm guessing the guy's a slave, and he's a slave for 12 years, okay?
That's a long time. I mean, that's got to be good, right?
Why is the voice like that?
I don't know, but I like that. That's the great voice for the Academy member.
I like it, too. All right, we're going to take a break. Wendy's going to be here in a minute, talking Therapy Thursday. Before all that, let's do a real request today, unlike yesterday's goofball stuff.
Real. Let's get real.
Yeah.
Things. All right, this one is going out to Oana. Dear Salt and Basil. Dear Sundance and Butch, dear Brown and Sugar, I'm a very long listener of the show, but a first-time writer. I guess I finally gathered up the courage to do it just because I needed to tell you guys how much you've inspired me and how much I appreciate everything that you do. I know you can't read long messages on the show, but I just wanted you to know that there is someone out there in a small country called Romania, yes, the place where Transylvania is, that listens to all things Frog Pants and is your number one Eastern European fan. Anyway, I'd like to ask Brian if he could find and play a cover of Gnarls Barkley's Storm Coming. If not, I'll take any cover of Gnarls Barkley. I'd like to dedicate this to my lovely sister, Andrea, who has always been someone I look up to and love. Love the snort, yo. Your number one Eastern European fan, Oana. Very good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, great. I don't have a cover of Gnarls Barkley's Storm Coming. But you know what I have 372 covers of?
Mm.
Crazy.
Mm.
Now, here's one I picked because, number one, I don't think we played it on the show. And number two, it's just kind of a cool little story. So on Gnarls Barkley's first album, they released a cover of Gone Daddy Gone by the Violent Femmes. Mm. 1 year later, the Violent Femmes said, okay, we can play it that game too. And they did a cover of Crazy, and they released it as a single. It's not available as a full album or anything like that, but I think you can buy it either on the violentfemmes.com site or on the on Amazon or iTunes. But get a look out for this because this is great. This is the Violent Femmes and their cover of Crazy.
Sounds good to me. Let's play it. When we get back, Wendy will be here, I promise, and she'll have stuff to say about something way important because that's how she rolls. Let's play it now. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much. That make me crazy. Does that make me crazy? Does that make me crazy? Possibly. time of your life. But think twice. That's my only advice. Come on now, who do you, who do you, who do you, who do you think you are? Bless your soul. You really think you're in control? Well, I think you're crazy. I think you're crazy. I think you're crazy. Just like me. My heroes had the heart to lose their lives out on a limb. I wanna be like them. I wanna be like them. Ever since I was little, ever since I was little, it looked like fun. It's no coincidence I've come. And I can die when I'm done. But maybe I'm crazy.
Push button, automatic timer, hot point super cal rod unit, the fastest, most efficient cooking unit known, a giant high-speed broiler plus two spacious ovens, enduring porcelain finish blankets the welded steel cabinet of this and every hot point electric range. Get quality appliances reasonably priced and available on easy terms at your hot point dealers. Look for his name in your classified section. And always look to Hot Point for the finest first.
It's the back door for us.
You dump the stream into the morning. This is the morning stream.
Okay, we're back, everybody. Welcome back.
Somebody pointed out, what a great day. Thursday, Therapy Thursday. What a great day to play the song Crazy.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
I hadn't either. That's hilarious. Well, nice job, Zoe.
Good job. We appreciate the notice. We're going to add Wendy to this here call. And when she comes on, all hell breaks loose. So
yes.
I hope you're ready for that. Suckers. Suckers! She wasn't here last week. She was skiing. With her, with a friend.
Oh, well. Yeah. Must be rough.
Yeah, it must be real
living
hard.
Living the
life. You never know what you're going to get. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. You're home from skiing. You're not skiing hello. Anymore.
Yes. That was like a whole straight 58 hours of skiing.
Did you really go?
No, it was
How long do you ski when you go skiing?
Oh, that was a short day.
Oh, okay.
It was also a blizzard, which was kind of lame, but
I was going to say that day was bad up in the mountains.
Yeah.
It's hard to the day after would have been amazing cuz you would have had all that powder and stuff. Yeah, but no, not while you were there. You picked a bad day to go.
Yeah. Bad visibility, like when you maybe don't know this, but when you can't see the terrain, mm-hmm. and you're just sure like that's not a bump and then
Oh, I know this. That's why I don't ski anymore.
Never had visibility?
The last time I went skiing was a horrible blizzardy thing. That was one problem. Second problem is one of my skis fell off while I was on the ski lift. And I had to go all the way down to the bottom to get it from the top with one ski on.
Oh, jeez.
And then I was also on the lift the third time up. One of my gloves fell off and never was found again. And I wore jeans that day. So
how old are you at this point?
I was probably 20-something.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Why are you wearing jeans?
Because some kind of idiot. I don't know. I went up with Matt. He was wearing jeans too, and he was fine.
Yeah, because he's 2 inches off the ground.
He's also a freak. He can do anything with anything. He can make a fire out of like a pancake and some sweat. Like he's just he's MacGyver. He's Korean MacGyver is what he is. All right. Well, speaking of Korean MacGyvers, Wendy's back. She's a real therapist, everybody. Someone who helps actual people all the time with their actual problems. And she takes time out of her schedule to come on the show here, puts her kids in a cage, and answers questions right here on the show.
So saving up for their therapy.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get to this question here, which is an interesting one. It's about, I'll explain it and people understand as I get to the end of it. And we'll see what you think about this one. So here we go. Hello, Wendy, says this person. Name has been withheld and their location. We don't have a name here, and that's fine. You guys can totally do that when you send your messages in to themorningstream@gmail.com. I have a brother who I thought would dump his girlfriend after she cheated on him and generally acted childless, and impulsive. Instead, she left him a few times and kept coming back, and he always took her back. It didn't matter what anyone told him. He always took her back. Now they're married. Just before they got married, they decided they needed some counseling. I was impressed that they would make an adult decision like that until I found out it was their pastor who did the counseling. I was hoping they would go to an actual counselor. As far as I can tell, the pastor has no training in counseling people. He read some Bible verses and told them what God wanted them to do. I don't think that's going to help. The reality of the issue is they both are not ready to be married. My brother is impulsive and lazy, especially at work where he seems to be putting out more effort than he did at home. I don't understand what that means. Except at work. Yeah. So they're both got their problems and they're both very young. It's weird being impulsive and lazy. We'll talk about that in a minute because it seems to be contradicting to me. Anyway, they're going to a different church than the one I went to as a kid, and their religious beliefs tell them they need to have lots of kids. I don't know that they get along all that well now, now they're going to throw kids into the mix very soon. I saw so many mistakes throughout their relationship. I just wanted to warn other people. Don't just go to any authority figure for marriage or life counseling. Please go to a real counselor like the famous Wendy Dunford, almost heir of the Dunford Bakery fortune. Man, their chocolate donuts are the best. thanks, he says. So this is a case of somebody who's, you know, they got this religious background part of it. I've had this before. I know people who I was like, oh, really? They're getting married? Why is this happening? This seems like a bad move. They get married. And you're like, oh, it's not going good so far. It's kind of how I thought it was going to be. Oh, it's real bad, but I can't say anything because I'm not in a position to say. What? They had 7 kids and nobody was looking? Oh, man, and those kids are rats. Look at that mess over there. They're living like hoarders. Like, you start going through all these stages of, like, dismay when your friends do stuff like this, and this feels very similar to me. So what do you tell this guy? And, you know, is he right to be all this concerned and all this worried about other people?
All right, so I want everyone listening to get a piece of paper and a pen.
I'm doing it right now.
All right. Get one.
Got one.
Especially this dude, who if he's had chocolate Dunford donuts, means he's somewhere in the Intermountain West.
Yeah, it sounds like, because they don't go anywhere else, right?
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm just saying. okay, so take your pen and draw a very big circle.
Okay.
And in the middle, kind of like a donut, draw another little circle. Actually, exactly like a donut.
It's making me hungry. So got it.
You just drew a donut.
All right.
Now, in the little circle, I want you to write influence.
Oh, I made my little circle too small. Crap.
Yeah, make it a little bit bigger.
Are you making this draw a snicklet?
I don't know.
Or wacky wordy or whatever those are called.
I don't know. It's my version of a Venn diagram. No, just kidding. So just in the middle, write
all right.
Influence.
Got it.
And then in the big circle, write just any space in the surface of the donut, right? Concern.
Okay.
So you're
so is that the circle of influence, the little one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
Then your circle of concern.
Okay.
Oh, no. Pete's coming to say hi. Say hi, Pete.
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, guys.
All right, now,
he is so freaking cute, you guys. You have no idea. I know Wendy's, you know, she's got 4 kids to worry about, and she's fed up all the time, but that is the cutest kid ever in the history of the world.
Anyway. He's so white. We have this little phrase. You know, he's so white, right?
Yeah, he's super white.
Really angel hair, and we always say, oh, he's got the face of an angel and the soul of the devil.
He's awesome. And his guts aren't on the outside anymore, which is the important part.
They're all in. Yeah, okay, so you just drew what this dude is going through, which is he has so much concern, and he can see all this stuff that's wrong. And then, but his influence is actually pretty darn small.
Okay.
What happens is, and for mothers out here, out there, this is one of our biggest challenges, is we worry about everything and we see all this stuff and we think we know the right answers. And so we have this giant swirling concern, and our influence can only go so far. And that gets smaller and smaller the older we get, the older our kids get, kind of thing. Mm. But it doesn't change that we're still concerned. The problem is when people are trying to overreach, what they're doing is they're jumping into that circle of concern, and as if they have the capital and the influence to make a difference.
And when they don't get the response they want, then they're
right.
They're mad.
Then they're tormenting themselves, right? Yeah. So clearly this is a sweet brother who loves his brother and is a good guy, right? Mm-hmm. But he is way out of he's way out into that circle of concern. And maybe doesn't have quite as much influence as he would like that would match that concern, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a balance that people have to strike. You can still be worried about someone or be concerned about them, but you have to really look at, what influence do I actually have? So you take that person you knew who you thought, wow, this marriage is going to be tricky. If you had more influence and you could say, guys, I'm concerned. And they were like, oh yeah, I should listen to you. That, you know, mm-hmm. because you have that influence. Sure. You could have taken that risk and said, hey, I'm not so sure this is a great idea. And they might have been like, screw you. You have no influence. And we're getting married anyway. And then they just have you later to go, dang, he was right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let me tell you a tiny anecdote to that. So when I got married or was getting married, I had a friend, I won't name names, who came to me and said, and did this thing, came to me and said, we don't think Kim's right for you. We think this is a problem. We think that's going to end in trouble, blah, blah, blah. And they had some weird reasons. I don't even remember most of how the conversation
from Mississippi,
maybe or something, but they were sure I was making a mistake. And I don't to this day understand how they even had that impression. Kim's never been nothing but sweet to everyone she's been around. And imagine my life, Wendy, if you will, without Kim in it. Just imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work. It's just it's non-functional. So
your friend could not been more wrong.
They were, that's on my point. They were very wrong, but they had stepped out of that circle of influence and tried to make the circle bigger.
Right.
And I was mad. I remember being like, what do you even know? You don't even know what you're talking about. And that's all I'll say about that person, because I could say more that would be ironic in this story, but I won't. The point is that I was really upset about that. I was really mad at that person. It took me a while to kind of get over it and not worry about it.
Yeah.
In this case, how possible is it that he's just wrong and is overly concerned? He's like a mother who thinks they know everything right for the kids, but the kids have it figured out and they don't need mom anymore.
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
saying? Is that possible here? Is it just he's completely wrong about his impressions and his concern is way overreached and doesn't really see it for what it is?
Well, here's a bigger, maybe more societal view of this as well. Let me throw on top of that, which is we think we know what's best for someone. And what we actually are thinking is, what is the smoothest road for someone? We don't take into consideration what is growth, what is maturing, they may end up being fantastic and having a slew of kids and doing just fine because they have a lot of growing up left to do. And you don't know what that looks like. You don't have a bigger perspective. But it doesn't mean that, you know, you might be right as well. But then the question becomes, why is this so much of your business? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I get that you're concerned but your influence isn't enough to really impact this. But you are given a lot of your life energy worrying about somebody else, right? I mean, to me, there's this sense, and maybe it's because I'm a mom with kids who like to worry about each other's business at the moment. Like, he can't do that because you told him 4 years ago he couldn't. You know, they're sort of micromanaging each other to make sure things are fair. That's what kids do. And I, you know, these are two brothers. And it's sort of like, I can't watch my brother make a mistake because obviously he cares about him.
Right.
But there's also like, what are you doing in your own life? And are you happily settled with the perfect partner and your life is great? Mm-hmm. Or is this worrying as an activity and a hobby? Because that can be, that's a real thing for people. Like, I'm just going to stress about someone else and I gossip about it and talk about it. And you know, family, when he's not around, we're going to talk about how she's not great for him or that they're too immature. And so lots of energy goes into sabotaging from the outside what you're watching too. And not to say they're going to ruin the relationship, but they sure aren't supporting anybody's growth. Because right. Guess what? They've already made the decision, you know, at this point. And yeah, who wants them to bring 12 kids in the world and then not take care of them? Nobody, right?
Right.
But here's the key. If you can increase your influence, then you can move that out into your circle of concern. And that is a patient step-by-step endeavor. It's hard. People tend to want to jump right to, you should listen to me because I know better.
Right.
Rather than earn respect, act wise, stay out of what you need to stay out of so that when people are ready, they do come and talk to you and will listen to you and then you have influence. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. But how do you do that? Like there's probably no simple way, but I mean that, like you said, the number one thing is probably time, right? But time in his mind is like, well, there is no time. They're getting married now. I got to stop it now. But in that other method, it's like, well, no, you can't. You got to let them probably get married first. And then you probably just have to show you're trustworthy and that you're supportive. But also then you can start inserting more concern. And I mean, I assume that's how that works.
Right. Well, right. And it's the long road for sure. It is not, hey, listen to me. This is a mistake. And you know what? You have every right to say that. Your friend had every right to say, hey, Scott, you're making a mistake with Kim. And you had every right to be like, you're dumb and thank you. And it'll take me a while to get over that.
Yeah.
And then you lived your life.
Yeah.
You proved he was wrong. Not that you did that to prove he was wrong.
No,
but
I didn't.
He just, you grew up and she grew up and you're great and perfect. And I know your friends can't probably say the same for his life. Yeah. And so you have this just, you have to trust yourself, which this includes, so say the brothers.
He may be doing, by the way, he may be doing really well. We haven't really kept up.
Of course.
So as far as I know, he's doing fine.
But if I talk to the brother and the wife and the one who they went to their pastor and he said, you know, how about 1,000 kids or whatever? They may feel like they're doing great. They may not. I don't know. But it's what's tricky is that you don't get to really know the story if they think you're just going to boss them around or they think you know all the answers, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe if, I don't know, he could express his concerns and they would listen to him at all, you have to think in terms of what is the value of what I'm offering? Am I expecting him to get a divorce? Am I expecting him to never have children? What is it you want from this brother? Mm-hmm. And so when I go into that conversation and I have my agenda, and my agenda is she's the worst thing for you. You guys are immature and stupid and you should never have children and your pastor's not a real counselor. What are you doing? My expectation is that they then go, oh, you're right. Wow, you're way smarter than us. We're going to do what you say. I mean, what do you really think you want? Mm-hmm. And then what do you really think is going to happen?
Yeah.
Because you're... 20-year-old friend, if he had thought that through, might have kept his mouth shut,
sure,
right?
Sure. But this is hard, right? Because he's got what we can only assume is genuine concern. This is easy to pile on and go, nah, you just need to back off. But, you know, in his mind, he's there to do the universe a real favor.
Right.
And the universe is not responding. It's turning its back on him. It's like, what's it like? I can't think of a good analogy.
No, the deed goes unpunished.
Yeah, I guess so. But it, you know, it's. I don't know what it's like. It's sometimes you just have to. I feel like in this particular case, he just has to sort of let it happen. There's this other question though, of, hey, he shouldn't be going to religious leaders for his counseling needs. Mm-hmm. What do you say to that? Because you're somebody who directly is involved with sort of being that not alternative, but you're the sort of, I don't know, secular equivalent to what somebody might seek for in a religious council. So,
right.
Yeah. Well, this sounds like there's some bias there on his part, but
yeah, clearly. And you know, but one thing he alluded to this, but I don't know if he knows this or not, but a lot of pastors will get pastoral counseling degrees. So there's a lot that are actually qualified. Mm. And it depends on different, you know, sort of, generic Christian churches, that's not uncommon. So I don't know if that's true or not, if this person has the counseling degree, partly because part of why that degree even exists is because it is such a common place for people to go. They don't want to go the secular route. they're worried the person will say, just go masturbate and marry or don't or whatever, you know, whatever. They're afraid they're going to get some, like, break all the commandments because it's better for you.
Ah,
you know?
The old just go masturbate plan. Got it.
Works so well.
It's a good one.
It's totally the answer.
Yeah. It's God's
anyway,
will.
So
God's will.
It's God's will. So they're really careful about that, right? And so these, so pastors historically have had lots of people coming to them. And anyway, so I am not, I think it's unclear if this person actually has qualifications or not. Yeah. Because they still do the God angle, but they're also, you know, more skilled. So that's, who knows?
Yeah.
But then the question becomes, so what influence does a secular counselor have for them if they really don't want to do that? Mm-hmm. So their pastoral counselor might be a great influence and could be a positive thing. And it sounds like this guy just doesn't buy that that maybe is necessarily a good thing. And I don't know if he was in the room or his brother told him everything that guy said. I don't know,
yeah.
You know, because the guy might have said, you know, you should wait a couple years and establish your relationship before you start having children. He might have said, you know, something that the brother would totally agree with, but I don't know that he knows that. Or maybe the brother has told him what he said and it was something very, I don't know. Yeah. Again, not what he's expecting or hoping.
Sure.
So that's the tricky thing is when any of us, and I'm trying to broaden this a little bit, but when any of us feel concerned about something, I think it's a valuable thing to stop and go, okay, what is actually my influence here? And is there a way to increase my influence? Or is there a way for me to say, get my own life and do something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that's this guy's case per se, but I think this happens a lot. I'm going to pick on moms for a minute, is they really need to get their own life and have concerns in other departments at a certain stage, you know?
Yeah. A lot of times they like having feet in both sides, though, I've noticed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And then when you don't think I'm influential, then my feelings are hurt and I'm going to play dumb games.
Right.
Because I want so badly to feel influential.
Right.
So it's just a good exercise for people to think about that. Like, so at work, if you don't feel like you have any power or say, or, you know, maybe this applies to lots of areas of people's lives. They want to sort of overreach where they can without doing it maybe the correct way. And I don't know the formula of the correct way necessarily. You sort of spoke to it, but this idea that be available, you know, actually being more quiet and not giving your opinion every second will actually help have you, that you'll have more influence. Having your own great life. I'll tell you, anyone I see who is single and wanting to be married and, you know, in the dating scene or whatever, I love this question they always say to me, well, I was talking to my friends. I'm like, okay, tell me how many of them are successfully in relationships. And they're like, okay, none of us. So I'm like, I know, like, great, talk to them, that's fine, but maybe find out from them what not to do.
Yeah.
You know, find someone who is living the life you think you want and see what they say. So just by the very nature of him having his own functional life means at some point his brother may talk to him or confide in him. But if that brother always thinks, you think I'm making mistakes and you don't trust me, you think I'm stupid, you're not going to have the influence that you're really wishing you had. Because I hear this email and I think he just wishes he had influence on his brother.
Right. And for the right reasons. It's not where there's no question about his motivation. Totally. It's not like he's doing this for selfish reasons. He just really wants to do good. He wants his brother to do good, you know?
Yeah.
And that's hard because I go through this sometimes. It's like, you know, especially with like bigger issues, like, I don't know, things that I get mad about in social or political ways. And I just go, I wish I had more of a voice on this there, so I can make more of a change here or whatever. But then I realize, well, I actually have a decent sphere of influence. It's not a bad circle. You know, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I have a lot of ears who are interested in what I say. So maybe what you ought to do is double back and refocus on where you do have the influence.
Right.
And that will grow. So as that circle grows, maybe the things out in that little peripheral, they'll begin to be swallowed up in your influence anyway. And then you'll be a tyrant and destroy a country that you're in charge of.
Right. Exactly.
Just realize where I was headed.
We also underestimate the power of being quiet. That, you know, the person screaming their opinion online, eventually people just stop listening.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe I'm totally off here, but does anyone really listen to pundits anymore? Like, is that a think so.
I think they do, but they're. I think it's they're the extremes, they're 55 and up. Like yeah, it's a right. different it's a different kind of
okay.
older way of getting information to people, and they're buying into it hardcore, and they're just not going to budge from whatever side they're on. And I think that's just kind of the way that is. But yep. I do think that anybody between the ages of 20 and let's say 45 are for the not most part, there's a larger portion of us who aren't quite so influenced by people who come on and claim to be experts.
Because what they've done is, you know, they've followed, you know, everything they've said and predicted, a pundit would predict on like the Sunday talk show or whatever, and then followed to see if any of it ever came to pass. And the truth is, the only ones invited back, their track record for being right is like nothing.
Yeah, they're terrible. Right, right.
But the ones that get invited back are the biggest spazzes. It's the ones who are screaming the most dramatic, because it makes for good TV. And
we're getting Sunday at the Press worked out. Who were the biggest spazzes last month? Because we'd like to get them back. But I agree with you. They were the ones that caused the most controversy and therefore are the most entertaining, therefore got the most eyeballs. Yes.
Yeah.
You're 100% right.
And it has nothing to do with who's accurate.
Right.
Which is
depresses me.
I think, doesn't everyone know that? So everyone can ignore that, right?
Yeah.
But obviously that's probably not true.
Not
but
everyone.
Yet at the same time, like that same person in your personal life, the one who's the most, you know, Armageddon talking, like, it's going to destroy everybody if you marry her. You know, the person who's just the loudest and the spazziest, I think we sort of tune them out. We sort of go, all right, of course you're going to say that. Mm-hmm. And then the one person who is not sharing their opinion but seems sort of calm and living a good life, you're like, I kind of want to know what that guy thinks, you know?
They're also going to just dig their heels in. So if you're trying to convince a truther that he's crazy about the way 9/11 happened,
right.
you're not enlightening him.
No.
He's just going, how deeper can I put my tent stakes in the ground? Because I need to fight against anybody who thinks I'm wrong. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. You tie yourself to a wagon of ideology or whatever, and you go to an extreme. Nobody's going to come and calm you, talk you down.
Right.
You go down because you crash down. Something bad happens. There's a huge life-changing event. Something happens to you where you're like, oh, everything I thought is a lie or whatever. You reach those conclusions on your own. So sometimes your sphere of influence doesn't matter. The dude's impenetrable. He doesn't care. He just will be more – he'll just lock in. There's no getting around it. Like, I'm not going to change anybody's mind on – if somebody thinks this Putin move over into the Ukraine is a good idea, how likely is it I'm going to change his mind?
Right.
Pretty zero. I mean, it's kind of depressing in a lot of ways. So instead, focus on your kids who are impressionable and young. And
where you actually have some influence.
Yeah, you have a sphere of influence. Exactly.
Right.
And unfortunately,
some
of those influences are not great, but whatever. It goes
and of course,
ways.
It doesn't mean you can't care about stuff, but it also means, like, ask yourself, am I taking my energy, my concern, any power and throwing it into the ethos because that's I get a high from yelling at somebody in a comment link on a blog post. You know what I mean? What are you getting? What do you get back from sort of endlessly trying to influence others without it actually influencing others?
Right.
You know what I mean? There's something there that you got to look at. So, you know, bring it back to the emailer. What is this about? Are your parents both dead and you feel the responsibility to watch out for him? Like, so if this guy came to me as a client, the emailer, I would not be like, you're right. Your brother's a mess. I might say, hey, you can give him my phone number. But other than that, let's talk about you. Like, what is this for you?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this so important that he makes such a good decision? And it doesn't mean you can't just generally be concerned for your brother, but is it an imbalance in your life that you're putting so much energy in this place?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he might want to look at some of those reasons, because if he can calm down, and not that he's spazzing out, but the calmer, the more, and the more sort of the life he's living and the love and concern he shows without nagging and preaching and all of those different things, his influence is going to grow. And what's amazing is it's 10 times, a billion times easier to grow your influence that way than it would ever by telling me he's making the wrong decision or insulting his choice of counselors or, you know, what he's doing is he's just shoving his brother further into a corner where he's got to defend his business and say, well, what?
Yeah.
I'm doing the right thing and I'm not talking to you anymore or whatever.
I could see a scenario where he sat down with him and just said, look, I've really struggled with this and it's been really hard for me. And I know I've been a little bit loudmouthed about it and I'm really concerned and it's all just because I care about you. And I want to let you know that I'm going to back off. I'm going to let you make these decisions and I'm going to trust that, you know, you're going to do okay. And I'm not going to be that guy. I just want to be here to support you and help you. If you need anything, you just let me know. If he had that conversation with him, I think he'd be surprised how much that approach influences him in the way he's trying to. Because then you pull down all those walls of defensiveness and he's just here to get me and this isn't for me, this is all about him. And instead you're like, oh, well, I guess I'm making this decision for myself now. I'm not doing it because I'm fighting against everybody else's expectations.
Right.
Then you really question what you're doing and how you're doing it. And you'll either still do it, but you'll maybe approach things different. You'll be smarter about this or whatever. I feel like that's got a better chance than him going, you can't go to the preacher and you can't beep, 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 beep. Like if that's his approach, I think he's never going to get anywhere.
Right. And let's say something, maybe he hasn't vocalized any of this, but people are dumb, but people are not generally on some level, maybe it's unconscious or just deeper. They know what people are really, how they're reacting because the energy they give off. So whether he's saying these words or not, I'm sure he's making certain grimacing faces or he's avoiding certain conversation or whatever that's giving the vibe that you're making stupid decisions and you're lazy and impulsive. And, you know, all of those judgments may be accurate, but if that's the vibe you give off, then no one's going to say, you know what, I trust you because you care about me regardless of my decision. No, they know you're being judged, right? People just know it. You know when you're being judged.
Yeah.
And so...
Oh, we lose her?
Oh, no.
I bet she got a call or something. Boy, talk about a cliffhanger. And yeah. So, and then...
So, but the most important thing I want you to take away from this is...
is... I think she's got us on hold because that's what that looks like.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing a call came through and she's now rapidly trying to figure out how to do it. So hold on here. We're going to try to... Wait, that's me, not you. We're going to try to get her back in.
It's not you, it's me.
I am certain that's what that was. But I got to know the end, man.
Mm-hmm.
Can't just skip past the final chapter. Sheesh. All right. Ringing, ringing, ringing. Maybe her phone died. Crap. Let's see. I'll text her while I'm waiting to make sure she didn't. All right. Here we go. Wendy. I say, translated it to weak. Come on, autocorrect.
Is that a texting?
We lose you? Yeah. I don't know what happened there. Maybe it's either battery, because I know her and she forgets to plug her phone in. Or it's something like that. So here's what we'll do. Hopefully we get her back. Oh, hello.
Hello.
Oh, there you are. Did you get a phone call or something? What happened there?
No, I don't know. I just had a big old good spiel, and then suddenly you were gone.
Yeah, that was weird. I mean, and you stopped right at this point where you were like, and so the final burn, and then you disappeared, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
No, this was the answer we were all been waiting for. So do you remember where you were? I don't remember.
What did you hear me say?
You said, and so, and then you stopped.
Did I talk about AA?
No.
Oh, okay, well, let me tell you about that.
Okay.
So, in final, whatever I just said, I think something an analogous to this, it's a little more extreme version, but is kind of helpful to think about, is to attend an AA meeting or like an Al-Anon meeting, the support of people who are alcoholics. And what you will witness is people letting go, letting go of needing to protect that person, prevent them from failing. You know, bailing them out of jail. And
can people do that? Can they just go to an Al-Anon meeting if they're not there for their drug addiction problem? Can they just do that?
Yeah, Al-Anon is for support members, not.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of some other. AA is the addiction thing, but it's all. Yeah. Isn't there a separate druggy one or is it all AA? I don't know how.
Yeah, NA. There's all sorts of.
I'm thinking of something else.
Versions of this.
But can you do that? You can go to one of these things and just be there?
Yeah.
Oh,
the public meetings.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, you can find one. So
you don't have to get up and speak. You can watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please. Yeah. You can say, you know what? My brother just married a dumb girl. So no, I'm not really here for alcohol. they might offend you. You might offend them. Right. Or you could go to any kind of codependency group. and just listen in or go to one online or read about codependency. I'm not sure this guy's a full-blown codependent, but what that means is ultimately it's the people who keep someone functioning enough to remain a functional alcoholic for as long as they do, right? Which is they bail them out of jail, they pay their bills, they let them sleep on their couch, you know, all sorts of roles. And ultimately the healing that comes for an alcoholic or an addict of that sort is sort of everyone else letting go. They stop trying to fix it for them. And that's why they need a support group, because it's really hard. It's really hard to think, I'm going to let this person just, you know, explode in a fiery ball of devastation and probably take other people with them.
Yeah.
But that's when the real healing comes for the other, because they have to own their own recovery, right? So this is much heavier, you know, stickier stuff. Sure. But I think it would be an interesting thought experiment for him to think about that. You know, what is my role and what do I actually need to let go of? And then why am I holding on so tight? That's where a little fun psychoanalysis could come in.
Yeah.
You know, what is this really about for me? Because you used that phrase earlier. You said, I can tell it's about him and not me. And that's true. I mean, you've all had this experience, right? Where someone's talking and you're like, what?
Yeah.
This is clearly about you. So that's true in every case, but some cases it's more obvious than others. So he needs to maybe look at that. What is this about for him? Mm-hmm. And maybe there's more to this that makes this painful. So for him to watch this, maybe he didn't intervene with someone else, or maybe he's the most responsible in the family and always has felt this way, and he needs to work on that thing. So we're focusing on him, not the brother, because we can't change the brother. Because we can't.
Yeah, the brother is going to be the brother. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff as always. I have an announcement-ish sort of thing to make here, which is exciting. So Wendy and I are going to start recording this 12 series thing that we talked, 12 episode series that we've been talking about forever. We'll have a Kickstarter up for it soon and all kinds of cool rewards and all that stuff's coming. But we are actually going to presume that the support is out there and start recording as quickly as next week. So we're very excited about it. We'll keep you informed on how it's going and when you can expect all that stuff to go down and be ready. But very excited about that. I think that's going to be rad.
And if all of you are not thinking, oh, I'm not supporting that, would you just email us so we can save some time?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Let us know.
Don't do it. That's a waste of time.
It seems like there's a lot of interest, so I feel like we're in good shape. But
cool.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Do you have any causes people should be focusing on right now?
The Rape Recovery Center thing still kind of on my mind. Yeah. Thank you you've sent me six people, and I'm going to get back to them and figure that out. That's so nice, everyone. You're the best.
If you guys are hearing this and haven't been contacted back, just so you know, Wendy, we will be getting contacted. It's just a process, so hang in there.
And as well as, it doesn't just have to be art. If you have some service or cool thing you do, that's the other thing you could donate. That would be really great. And are you and Carter working on some pieces for me?
We are. Original artwork.
Sweet.
We will have ready by the time this all rolls around. Actually, we have till when? Is it April?
April 25th. They probably want it a little before that, if you could pull that off.
April, let's see, March, April. That's next month.
Yeah.
Oh, shite. Yeah, we better get on that.
Yeah.
I've got an idea. I just need to get it out. Carter, I know, has been working on it. So yeah, we'll be well in advance ready. And if you're still interested in helping out, you can still email us. If you don't get it, like I said, if you don't get a reply right away, that's not because we don't want you. It's just because it takes a while. So
it'll be by next week, I promise.
Indeed. So have a fantastic week. It's always good to talk to you. There's no Twitter to send Wendy people to for Wendy. So we're not going to do that. I guess that's it. Wendy, thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Have a great week.
You too. Talk to you guys later.
Bye now. All right.
Very good.
That was her.
Mm-hmm.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's do a couple of quick emails. One, actually, begins now. What do we have? Who's bringing it to us?
Brought to you by Coverville, where tomorrow you'll hear an episode of Coverville, probably. Awesome. And I don't know what it's going to be about, because I usually the days that I usually put that stuff together are earlier in the week, and I was in Florida earlier in the week. So maybe, hey, it'll be an episode all about Florida.
That's great. Florida music.
That actually could be fun.
That's not a bad idea. You could do, there's so many bands from Florida, you could totally do that.
Mm-hmm. No Jimmy Buffett.
No. Jimmy Buffet. Now there, now you're talking.
Jimmy Buffet.
So we got one email here I wanted to read. This came comes from Gay Paul, TMS's official gay fan.
Yes.
Paul's a great guy, and we'd love hearing from him. And it's been a little while, actually. So he chimed in on this whole Arizona law thing. And I'll follow this up with a little bit of stuff that came from a kind of a contrary opinion from his spouse. He is married to another man who had a contrary opinion to him on some of these issues. So it's really interesting to hear from somebody who is actually living the life, pipe in on these issues that so many white male heterosexuals want to act like experts on. Hey, Scott and Brian, just listening to TMS 559, and I heard your comments about the Arizona bill. A couple of clarifications. Number one, the Arizona legislatures did indeed cite the case of a photographer for refusing to photograph a same-sex wedding. That occurred here in New Mexico, not Arizona. So in New Mexico, Walter White and all that, right?
Right.
Number two, the case went all the way to the New Mexico Supreme Court, where the couple won against the photographer due to the fact that New Mexico has a law on the books which forbids discrimination based on race, religion, religious affiliation, gender, or sexual orientation. This is written to our state constitution. So they didn't do it. They did it within the law. It's very interesting because the way all these articles have read that I've read don't mention New Mexico at all in that case. They just talk about, well, there's this case of, and you just assume it was in Arizona.
It was Arizona. Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
It kind of bugs me that they've been withholding that piece of data. Number three, what bothers me about the Arizona law is that they have no protections in place for sexual orientation at all. They also have a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. So they were crafting a law where none was needed, a true knee-jerk reaction to a very overzealous, bigoted people to take care of a problem that doesn't exist, in my opinion. He says, lastly, I do not agree, or I do agree with you and Brian, or with Brian and you as well, Scott, businesses, I'll say it that way, should not be forced to serve someone they don't want to. Guy comes in, has a festering leg hole. You could say no to that guy. I don't know why. That's a terrible example, and I take it all back. When Paul says, when Paul, and this is the other Paul, there's two Pauls, by the way. Both guys' names are Paul, right?
Mm-hmm. Paul and Paul.
Right. When Paul and I got legally married here in New Mexico last year, I would never have dreamed of forcing anyone who didn't approve of same-sex marriage to do anything for us. Our money is very green and spends just as well down the street to someone who will take good care of us. Thank you, guys, a.k.a. Gay Paul. And he says TMS official gay fan. All right.
His money is green. I thought it was rainbow colored. Bah!
Yeah, indeed. So then his husband piped in and says he thinks the businesses should be forced to serve everybody, which is an interesting point of view, given that his is sort of contrary to that. So even within this very happily married gay couple, there is some dissent about how businesses or whoever should be treated. I have to respectfully decline or disagree with that particular stand. I think that businesses, the nature of being a business is that you should be able to do whatever the hell you want to do to the detriment or to the growth of your business.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is that the caveat or the repercussions to that should come from the public and not from the law. Right. So if you say, you know, I don't want to serve that person because they're gay or because they're Jewish or because they're black or whatever, rather than have the law come down on you, it should be, and it very, you know, and it absolutely, well, let me just emphasize that it very well should come from the public and the publicity that you get from being that closed-minded and being that.
Market corrections horrible. Is what we're talking about here. So if you're going to be an ass, the market will determine your outcome. That's
your
just the way it goes. Right.
Based on your assiness.
Your assiness. Correct. You're right. Your gassy assiness. if the state requires me, going back to my little problem, to have a building permit to finish a basement, I hate that. Mm-hmm. Because A, I don't think you should need one. B, if I make it unsafe, then I'm going to pay the consequences.
It all comes back to you now, doesn't it?
So if I get crushed, listen, if I get crushed in a collapsing basement, that's on me.
It's literally on you.
It's literally on me. It's not on the state to feel responsible for me and my stupidity. I should have to pay the consequences for such a dumb build. And if I build it well, hey, I'll benefit from it because when the inspectors come around when it's time to sell it, we'll say, hey, everything's structurally great. If they come around and it's about to fall apart, they're going to you got major problems here. You're going to have to dig it out. And I'm going to have to pay the consequences of it. So I feel the same way about this. If a business says, there's somebody used a great example the other day. What was it? Crap. Oh, I forgot. It was a really good example of this whole notion of businesses should be forced to serve people. And it was, and it just reinforced what I was trying to say. And of course, you can always find things to reinforce your position, but I'm in huge agreement that it's dickish to deny anybody service because of their sexual orientation. But I also think that business has the right to do that, and they should reap the whirlwind of that, which means they're going to get no business from people who know about it. They'll get less business from people who do and don't really care and stay neutral.
Even straight couples who have gay friends they support.
Yeah, or even straight couples who just are quiet and don't really want to get bothered are like, well, those guys are jerks. Let's go up the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are you going to get? A couple of really angry anti-gay folk coming out. I'm going to buy cake here, damn it. We're getting our cake here. How come? Because they don't like them gays.
I want this cake to be red, white, and blue. and have Adam and Eve on it.
Yeah.
It ain't Adam and Steve in the frosting.
Steve. What the hell's going on with that? I love our voice when this comes up. Anyway, that's where we stand. I don't know why Gay Paul's husband disagrees with that part of it, but that's okay. That's part of the conversation. That let's have some differing opinions, folks. And there are a bunch of... There are emails who are mad at me just for calling names, and I don't mean to do that. You know, I'm calling people dicks for being discriminatory.
I thought you meant like saying Paul.
No. But that would be bad. But I just really feel strongly about both ends of this. Be a good citizen, treat people with respect, and quit worrying about what other people do with their personal lives that have no effect on you. Also, don't tell businesses what they can do or don't do. Let them put themselves out of business or grow one way or the other. Let them make decisions that help their business do things. We should not be stepping in and telling them how to do that any more than we should tell gay people how to live their lives. To me, it's the same issue.
Exactly. Moral of the story, don't be an ass.
Yeah, don't be an ass. Here's what I would say to you now, Brian, is that we're done.
What?
The program is complete. Oh, we got to call Cleo, though.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that. Hold on.
Cleo.
Let's do that. Let's call Cleo. If I can find her. Hold on now.
She's busy whacking those tallies.
Carrie Chai. There she is. All right, let's get her in on this business. She can tell us how you guys did during the week. For Brian, he missed a whole day of hoot.
I know.
But I'm sure there's something good going on. All right, Cleo, listen, are you there?
I'm sure it was a real hoot.
It was a real hoot. Are you there? Are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I am.
How are you?
Hello. Good.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, there's Eden.
Brian made me play this. Hold on.
That's great. Listen, you're a real hoot.
There you go.
I love it.
How's she doing? Hi, Eden. Hi. She's waving. Hi.
You going to say hi?
Oh.
Say hi, Scott.
She's such a sweetie.
She's going to give you the finger if you give her a minute.
What a cutie.
There you go.
Yeah, way to go.
Great. Now we're NSFW. Yeah. Terrific.
Great.
Good parenting right there.
Night Attack left a big hole, so now we can be that. So what's up in the world of Who Made Funny this week?
Oh, let's see. Let me look at my little notepad here. Looks like it was pretty heavily Oscar-biased, which is not a bad thing.
Yes, I agree. Yes, Mom is funny. Yes, I am. Yes, laugh, Eden. Okay.
Complete agreement. I didn't mean to. Sorry, I didn't mean to click that. Keep going.
Okay. Yesterday we were talking with Brian Dennehy about how well he knows his home state. Treacle offered this. I don't know if it's true or not, but the official state amphibian of South Carolina should be Newt Gingrich.
Oh, nice.
See?
Is he from there? I didn't know that.
No, he's from Pennsylvania, okay. But it was pretty funny.
All right. Yes.
And now we're going to go into the Oscars stuff. Regarding the host of the Oscars,
The coast.
Yeah. I pulled a Johnson. The host of the Oscars. I Am Sci-Fi said that Ellen DeGeneres is to comedy what white bread is to general nutritional value.
Nice.
True. Aww.
I just had white bread this morning. Now I feel bad. Just kidding.
Oh, no.
I got to quit eating that stuff. Anyway. Continue.
Rob from Chicago doesn't think that John Travolta screwed up Idina Menzel's name. Adele Dazeem is just your Scientology name.
Adele Dazeem.
Brilliant.
Yep. Yeah. Talking to Justin Robert Young about the Oscars, at some point he said, the next thing you know, it's going to be okay to make fun of blind people. Okay. And Ironic Names said, it's okay to do it now because blind people aren't watching.
Oh, nice. Lovely. Although I don't know if I subscribe to that idea, but yes, I get it.
Yes. Wow. And Ironic Name is going to take it for the week because A, he's been hounding me for months, and B, because this was hysterical. Matthew McConaughey takes a limousine to the Oscars because he can't drive himself. It takes him forever to reach wherever he's going because he just goes. All right.
Because it can't go left.
Oh,
get it?
I was thinking about it. Okay, very good.
All right. Well, wonderful. Well, right, that was right, an all right breakdown right. of the week's hilarity. Big thanks to you as always. And it's nice to see Eden. Are you still bringing her to Nerdtacular? What are you planning?
I don't know. I have a call into her neurologist. I don't know if she can do altitude.
Oh, yeah. There's high. I forgot about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of that at.
That's a lot of that. That's a real big problem for her.
Yeah. Well, we don't want that. But let's. Well, as we get closer.
We'll try, though.
Yeah. Let me know how it goes. But it's nice to see her, and I'm glad she's doing well.
Say hi. You say hi to everybody. Everybody's so nice to you. Yeah. Don't give them the finger. Not everyone. Just stop.
On that note, bye. See ya. She's so cute. Oh, I hope she comes. That'd be really fun.
Yeah.
But I forgot about the higher altitude. It's not that high, guys, but somebody with a condition and, you know, you have to think about these things.
What do you mean it's not that high? I mean, it's, you know, you guys are,
It's not like the freaking Alps or something. It's like, what are we?
No, but you're already above sea level.
Yeah. So it's about 8,000 feet. If that's a lot, higher. Then I guess it is. Yeah.
8,000 feet is high.
Is that high?
Then I guess we're high.
I don't know. I've been as high as 10 or 12, I think. Well, and that seemed high. But 8 seems normal to me. Doesn't seem hard. I guess let's put it this way. If you're used to, you know, between 2 and 4,000 feet above sea level already, 8's not going to be any big deal to you.
Well, okay, true. That's true.
Yeah. But if you're used to living in Florida, then you might, you know, might be a little winded.
And it's going to be a lot high.
Yeah, it's pretty high. All right. Well, speaking of high, let's get out of here.
Okay.
Tonight, 5:30 p.m., TMS PM is debuting. It will be live. It'll be me and Brian. It will go for about an hour. And we are very much looking forward to bringing you the fifth in the weekly torrent of TMS episodes beginning tonight and happening each and every week as long as we stay above our current goal level that we're at right now.
Listen, people, you asked for this.
Yeah, it's not our fault. Don't blame exactly. us that you did this.
Exactly.
A lot of people are very curious about the structure of it. Trust me, it's going to be a lot of what you already like. It will be a little bit more streamlined. We're not planning any major segments or guests or anything weird, at least not initially. We kind of want to test the waters, see how it feels that time of day, kind of tweak it around and build it from there. So be part of the ground floor by being there tonight, 5:30 p.m., live right here on the same live channel. If you don't know where that is, go to frogpants.com/live and you'll find all of it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Let's get the hell out of here. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email. Got to have the in the front. TheMorningStream@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can find us at MorningStream, at Scott Johnson, and at Coverville. Okay. I think that's it. Let's get out of here. You got some music?
I do. This one going out to Blake, a.k.a. Mulligan in the Tadpool. Hey, Brian, in honor of Mega Man being announced for the roster of the new Super Smash Brothers game, I have a cover I think you guys are really going to enjoy. It's by the Megas, and they released their Fly on a Dog EP last December with this track on it. Hope you dig it. And you can find it, by the way, free download at themegas.bandcamp.com. And it's great. This is a cover of Send Me an Angel, originally done by Real Life. So all you 80s fans will love this. It's quite a comeback. And just like that last song, there's some really interesting speaky bits in this one as well. Here is Send Me an Angel by the Megas.
Sounds great. Again, 5:30 tonight. We'll see you guys then. We'll be back on Monday with a regular morning episode. Lots of stuff happening this weekend. Check out frogpants.com for more. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you tonight.
Mm-hmm. Video Armageddon will begin in T-minus 2 minutes and counting.
Do you believe in heaven above? Do you believe in love? Don't tell a lie, don't be false or untrue. It all comes back to you. Open fire. I'm a burning heart. I've never been.
Send me an angel. Send me an angel right now. Right now. Send me an angel. Send me an angel right now. Right now.
Empty dreams can only disappoint.
So bad. Send me an angel. Send me an angel.
To California.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
A dozen.
One more for good measure.